Good morning, good afternoon, hello, Alvider, what is it, bonjour? Hey, John, I hadn't said hello to you today, I'm sorry. Terrible man, sorry. Hello where you are online. If your name's John online, that's even better too, because you just got real excited. You're probably looking around you, trying to see if somebody else is looking. Don't worry, we installed the cameras last week. You didn't have a clue. It's all right. Wherever you are, though, we're thankful you're here. I want you to let two people know God wants to have a conversation with you. God wants to have a conversation with you. He's been wearing me out all day. And he's not got his arms crossed, I promise, because he's been wearing my fanny out all day long. We got one more coming in divine. There she goes. Miss Gabby was making it in there. We're okay. I know. Gabby had just left the doll's house, so we were good to go. If you know, you know. So today I'm excited, wherever you are, I'm excited to dive in to the word of the Lord and see if you're listening online. We're thankful you're here because we have fun in church, because oftentimes church can be really boring. We have great worship. We kicked off by singing about Thanksgiving, right? I mean, that's my king. My bad. Earworm. Going to be stuck the rest of your day. You're welcome. Y'all will figure it out later. You'll listen all the way through. Do you think Jesus is not going to have that at the wedding supper of the Lamb? Turkey and dressing. No? No? Macaroni and cheese. Right? Mashed potatoes, gravy. What are we talking about? Thanksgiving. You're good. Terrible. I'm sorry, Cece. They're probably already blocked us online anyway. So just talk to the record label because we're just trying to give the God glory. So that being said, we're going to talk about something even more controversial today than me butchering worship songs. And it is this: tongue. We're going to be talking about tongues in the church today. Last week we talked about prophecy. This week we're talking about tongues, and we're in 1 Corinthians 14 as we do it, so we've kind of gone back and forth with this. And so as I was getting ready for this, thinking about everything that we have to do, it made me think how I often can be when it comes to this. And maybe you're the same way. What do we do when somebody doesn't understand us? Like at the cash register, or maybe a child, do we keep a calm, even tone? We just get louder and louder. I said the blessing, like right? Like you get louder and louder, because that makes them understand. Like they have no clue what you're saying, but that makes it understand. Like, have you ever thought about how your dog feels when you do that to them? Like, I said, get inside. Huh? Like, you know, like, so think about that. What do we do oftentimes? We try to get louder, and this is what I wanted to say with this, because I definitely have got to have a little bit of confession when it comes to this, and we'll get to that in a minute, especially when it comes to tongue. But have we ever considered that maybe, just maybe, the person we're talking to doesn't have a listening problem, they don't have a hearing problem, what they have is an interpretation problem and an understanding problem? And maybe, just maybe, when it comes to this, this is something that we've got to look at when it comes to that. Because here's the thing, we just said God wants to have a conversation with you, and we're going to unpack how that plays out in tongues. And I'm going to confess to say, maybe that is your spiritual gift. And I've stood up here, and I know sometimes I'll talk about punching you in the throat and being crazy, and that's on me. That's a terrible thing, because who am I to try to quench the Holy Spirit moving? But I will tell you this. Maybe your experience is like mine. When people have done this and spoken in tongues, it's for their glory, not God's, to try to bring attention to themselves. I've seen people do that and act like act like they were possessed and speaking in tongues, you know, and it's kind of like they've got the, you know, they're just trying to make sure that somebody, you know, no, I'm not looking. You know, like, they want to make sure, they want to see who's looking and paying attention instead of understanding. Somebody who truly has the gift of tongues is doing it to the glory of God. And the reason I want to bring that up is I don't ever want to quench the Holy Spirit moving, but there is something Paul's going to help us point out in 1 Corinthians 14 that helps us understand this spiritual gift that's very controversial. I mean, it splits denominations, it splits people's thinking on their faith. It even has some people believing that salvation has you speaking in tongues, and it's a requirement of that, and that is not the case. So if you've got your Bible today, I've said my confession, and I want to make sure I talk to you and say, I'm sorry if that's your spiritual gift. I would never want you not to display it in the church. So maybe that is your stumbling block to come be a part of the vine. Don't let it be anymore. And you can confront me face to face on it, and I will tell you I'm sorry about that. But I will tell you, if you're doing that in this house and you're trying to bring yourself glory, people have permission to throw this right at you. I don't really care, because that's not what we do. We're not going to do things for you to get glory, because we come here every week for God to get the glory. Because if it was about us, this all falls apart anyway. So wherever you are, I do want to invite you to come here. And today I'm hoping as we read through Paul that we kind of demystify this idea of tongues and the spiritual gift of tongues, and we walk in obedience to what the Lord has called us to. So if you've got your Bible today, we're going to be in 1 Corinthians 14 again. We're going to kind of wrap that up today and hopefully kick off 1 Corinthians 15 next week, which is 1 Corinthians 15 is one of the greatest chapters Paul's written in the Bible, by the way. One of the greatest parts of the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 14 sets it up so well. So if you've got your Bible, we're going to be in 1 Corinthians 14 in verse 26. If you don't, as always, we have a Bible free for the taking over there in the garden. You go grab that, pick that up. It is yours. We've purchased them a long time ago, and if you don't take it, we're going to give it to somebody who wants it. So I'm just saying, you can go grab a Bible and sneak strawberry shortcake and cupcakes or whatever may have to be, some coffee. Not going to be mad at you if you do that. Also, you can follow along with us for free on our Vine Church app. As always, go to thevine.tv/app. It'll bring you to your favorite app store. It is going to ask you some personal information, like your mother's maiden name, last four of your social, name of your first pet, and I think maybe just maybe your favorite teacher. I think maybe that's what it is. And if you don't give that, the next time you come in, the ushers will lock you in the office back there until they shake you down. I just want to. Really, we don't do that here. So we don't do that, but with your help, we can. So that being said, wherever we are, if you want to follow along with us on the Vine Church app, we'd love for you to do that. But always, Vine Production Team, Zach works really hard to make sure wherever you're watching around the world, even apparently I gave him my hobble bug, so we have the hobble monsters coming along with us. So that being said, wherever you're watching around the world throughout the week, this is going to be on the screen for you. So if you're at 1 Corinthians 14, verse 26, where Paul has been leading us the past few weeks, give me an amen. Amen in the house of the Lord, as always. And Paul says this, "What then shall we say, brothers or sisters, when you come together, each of you has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation? Everything must be done so that the church may be built up." Again, everything we do is so that the church, the bride of Christ, is being built up. Not screaming louder because no one understands. Not trying to Bible thump people to make them understand. Everything we do is to build up the church. Now, Paul's expectation of them was to have a hymn, as we said last week, which could be a psalm. Usually it was one of the psalms. And then from that, it says, or a word of instruction. In other words, what has Jesus taught you this week? A revelation. Hey, I read this scripture and God revealed this to me. Or stop cheating on your wife, dude. I prayed about it and I found out. Right? Like that could be another one. That was prophecy. We talked about that last week a little bit. A tongue or an interpretation. So this being said, let's talk about what this looks like. Because if we're going to talk about tongues, we got to define what it is, just like we did with prophecy. And this is not going to be a shocking definition, but this is the definition of tongues. A definition of tongues is this: it's a gift of the Holy Spirit that enables a speaker to speak in a language unknown to the speaker. Now, you can paraphrase that or make it be whatever it is. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit that makes the speaker speak in a language unknown to the speaker. That's it. But there is something that's required of that. There's always an interpretation required when it comes to tongues. Someone has to be able to interpret it. Either the person speaking it, and how do they interpret it if they don't know the language? Holy Spirit only. Or someone else can interpret it. But now let's kind of unpack this. Simply, it's this. We just had this conversation a moment ago, and I love it because it was a Holy Spirit move. A simple example of this is parents, you know what your child wants. By the way they cry, by the way they laugh. Whoever you are, you know that. But does your child speak English yet? Usually when they're a toddler. No. You and I, we majored in gibberish for a couple years, and then we decided, hey, we'll learn this language and we'll act like we can't speak it, except maybe the cuss words that mom and dad use on the way to church. And that's the ones that we seem to display all the time. But that being said, the bad ones you used, or they tell that same thing you said about that person that no one was supposed to know, and yet you still said it, and somehow that's the one thing they remember you saying, not everything else. So you don't speak English, but you can understand your child. Guess what? Your child spoke in tongues, and you interpreted it. If you have pets, it's the same way. You know your dog by the bark, by their demeanor, by their tail wag. Did you understand, dog? But you could interpret it. And guess what? Does your dog speak English? But when you say treats, or when you say bacon, or go for a ride, or dog park, or go outside, Or did you pee in the floor again? There's a reaction. They understand it, but they don't speak it. So this thing in tongues can be really like way up here that we take it. But really, it's a simple thing. The best display of it to me is in the Old Testament when Babel came, when the Tower of Babel was being built and God tore it down. And then in Acts 2, where we know the Holy Spirit falls and there's tongues of fire. So I want to change your perspective on this, because maybe you didn't think of it this way or you learned it a certain way. And I want to say this. It says in Acts 2, if you are to read that in the very beginning there, it says that when the apostles spoke, they said, are these not Galileans? But how is it that I hear it in my language? Now, how many of us thought that the apostles spoke different languages at the time? Now, maybe you didn't. How many of us said then, well, what if they were all speaking Hebrew and yet the Phoenician heard it in Greek and yet the Arab heard it in Arabic? So in other words, what if right now I'm speaking English and by the Holy Spirit, somebody hears it in Portuguese? Somebody hears it in Japanese? Somebody hears it in French, even though I'm speaking English? Can you see tongues moving? That is tongues. That is speaking in tongues. Sounds nuts, right? But that's all that it is. But yeah, we would say we have to go walking around and wabalama ding dong, ramalama ding dong, like, right? Like, you know, it's some kind of crazy thing, like, I call the witch doctor. You know, like, it's some crazy thing that we think that it has to be in a certain way. And somebody says, well, if you don't say it this way and it's not this way, then you don't have the Holy Spirit. But it's not even close to that. And this is what Paul is trying to help the Corinthians understand, because we'll get in verse 1 and 2 here in a minute. But remember, the whole reason he's doing this is they don't have order in service. People are speaking over each other. They're running around crazy. They're chaotic. He's addressing prophecy, because some people say, I prophesy Wade's will charge me for 3 rolls today, and they're out of this when I get there. It's not 2 for 1. Like, and then another person saying, Ramalama ding dong, no, they're going to have 7 of them. Like, it's going to be, and they're just fighting over each other to gain favor for each other instead of pointing to Jesus. And for someone who's an unbeliever, it didn't make sense. But here's the craziest thing. To Paul, it's the most spiritual church that he's part of planning. We would call them charismatic today. It's the most charismatic church he plants. And so he's trying to help them understand that. And so if that's the case when it comes to tongues, let me ask you this. If God designed a means by which you and I could directly communicate with him in his language, in his will, that removed all fear, doubt, anxiety, or guilt, would you want it? I'm going to say that again. If God designed a means by which you could communicate directly to him in his will, Jesus said it this way, if you ask for anything in whose name? In my name, his name, and his will, and it removed all fear, anxiety, and doubt on your end when you prayed it. You had no doubt your prayer was heard and your prayer would be answered. Would you want it? I want that. And it ain't, dear Jesus, you know, please let the angels win the pennant. Like, it's not that. No, like those kind of things. Come on, angels in the outfield. It was a good one back in the day. If you knew, you knew. But that being said, like, it's not that. It's really, it's God taking over you in the spirit, and you are praying to him in his will. That is praying in tongues. A completely different thing than saying, God, you know what? The power bill's due. I mean, I got to go do something, and you go load up the Sanford and Son truck and figure it out. Like, you know, no. So for you and I, so now that I say this, we all said yes. What do you think Satan would do with that if that did exist? Do you think that he would want it to happen? Or would he divide us over it and thwart it from happening? See, that's why I wanted to start with my confession, because I don't want to be like Satan dividing and thwarting a holy gift, a Holy Spirit gift. And instead, I want us to be able to walk in it fully. So here's some common questions really quick about tongues, and then we'll get to 1 Corinthians 14, 1 and 2. It says this, before we get there, let's talk about these common questions. Does everyone have the spiritual gift of tongues? Through the Holy Spirit, I believe we can possess all of those gifts, but some of us have special gifting in it. So no, not everyone possesses the gift of tongues as their spiritual gifting fully. Does it mean you can't operate in it? As we just talked about through many examples, yes, yes you can. Does it make you more of a Christian because you can speak in tongues or interpret tongues? No. No, it does not. And the kicker, do you have to be able to speak in tongues as proof of your salvation? No. Because you know what? When you get to heaven and God says, how do you get in? And we know Jesus is the answer. He doesn't care if you prophesied in his name or cast out demons in his name. Because I remember him telling some people in his word, in his parable, away from me and depart from me, I knew you not, even though they did that. Instead, it's about giving him the glory. So let's see what Paul says here in verse 14, or chapter 14, verse 1 and 2. Paul continues again to build off 1 Corinthians 12 and 13 here. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. We unpacked that last week. Now here we go with tongues. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people, but to God. There's that means by which we can talk to God directly. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. So see, this is that vehicle, that common language that we can speak to God directly to him. Now, Paul goes on in verse 6 to say this. Now, brothers and sisters, if I come to you and I speak in tongues, what good will I be to you unless I bring you some revelation or knowledge or prophecy or word of instruction? Now, Paul goes on to talk about this in tongues as different instruments and making sounds. And what would it make sense if we were all out of tune, if you will, and we were all playing out of tune? Would anybody get it, or we'd just be overwhelmed by the out of tune harshness as opposed to it being in tune? And so Paul is telling us the truth, the first truth. I'm going to try to give you four truths today. The first truth about tongues is it will always agree with Scripture. Why? As he started in verse 1 and 2, to edify or build up the church. It starts with Scripture. He says, if I speak to a tongue to you, what good would it be if I bring you some revelation or knowledge or prophecy or word of instructions? All start with the word. It starts with Scripture. Just like prophecy, you test tongues against Scripture. What does it say? If it goes against Scripture, it's not of the Holy Spirit. If it is in line with the word of God, it is part of the Holy Spirit. And so now that Paul's established that first truth again, as he did with prophecy, he's going to say, here's how you're supposed to conduct yourself when it comes to tongues. We're going to get down to verse 11 to 13 to see that. He said, if then I do not grasp the meaning of what someone is saying, I'm a foreigner to the speaker, and the speaker is a foreigner to me. There we go. So in other words, I just scream louder at you and hope you get it. No. Yeah, a combo. I wanted it to be a combo. Yeah, a combo. Big East Side, tough crowd. Value Meal, not there anymore. Anywho's. That being said, maybe it is. Maybe it's back. Maybe Monopoly's back. I don't know. I'm just saying. So that being said, he says, I'm a foreigner to the speaker, and the speaker's a foreigner to me. So it is with you, since you are eager for the gifts of the Spirit, try to excel in those, here he goes again, that build up the church. For this reason, the one who speaks in a tongue should pray that they may interpret what they say. The second truth about tongues is it is intelligible and interpretable, if that's a word I can use because I made it up, and I'm going to say it is. In other words, it can be understood by someone. It's not like I'm going to say, Ramalama ding dong, and then you got to go out in the world and figure out what? And then you just tell everybody, hey, what'd you learn in church today? Ramalama ding dong. Yeah, you just keep going. I mean, supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, like you just keep, it doesn't make sense. So that's not intelligible. It doesn't do anything. So somebody's got to be able to interpret it. Whenever, and Paul is saying, hey, if you are the one speaking in tongues, pray first you can interpret it. And if you can interpret it, that God has someone there who can. Why does this matter? Because when we do that, it's just like speaking words with no meaning. It's not forming complete sentences. It doesn't help anyone, especially an unbeliever. See, Paul's setting this up because they're speaking in tongues. In 1 Corinthians 15, he's going to clearly lay out the gospel again. He's going to say, hey, you got to have order in your service. This goes all the way back. We've got the gifts of the Spirit in chapter 12. You're going to display them in love in chapter 13. Why? To edify or build up the church in chapter 14. And how do you do that? You clearly have order in your service, as we'll get to in a little bit, by clearly laying out the gospel, that even an unbeliever understands it. Wouldn't we rather it be something that somebody understands than some great mystical knowledge that only you and I possess? Aren't you glad that somebody could display and share the gospel with you clearly? As opposed to making it where you've got to give this much or do this much, or you have to say this in tongues, or you've got to do these things, or fill out these requirements, or go through these 12 steps before you can have salvation. I'm so thankful Jesus said, you just have to believe in me. So when we understand that, when somebody is speaking in tongues, there has to be an interpretation either publicly by the person doing it or by someone else. I always think of it this way as well. If you have sign language at a service, that's speaking in tongues, right? Somebody's interpreting what I'm saying to somebody in a language I can't speak. And now when I do it with Scripture, it's the very same thing. I'm giving a word of instruction to someone. As a matter of fact, we're not going to talk about it, but verse 22, a little bit later, Paul says so much about tongues that they are not for believers, but for unbelievers. This is when Paul talks about too, he's not doing it here, but remember Paul said, I'm all things to all people. So this is how he's saying, engage the culture around you and their language and show them the gospel through it. In your workplace, at the gas station, where you go to lunch, where you work out, everywhere. This is what tongues is about. And then here comes the one that's not publicly really spoken all the time. It's what he's going to address in verse 14 to 17. And it's not really a prayer language, if you will, even though if you've been with somebody who's prayed in tongues, it can be really powerful. But most of the time, you don't even hear them doing it. That's the crazy part about it. We'll unpack that in a second. But it still requires an interpretation. Okay? Verse 14 to 17, Paul says, if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. So what shall I do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will also pray with my understanding. So like if I'm going to pray, I don't say, dear Lord, Rama Lama Ding Dong. Like that doesn't make sense. Maybe it does. We're going to get to heaven and God's going to be like, man, you kept saying Rama Lama Ding Dong. That was one of the names nobody wrote down in the Old Testament about me. I appreciate it. Like, no. Like, so he says, I will pray with my understanding. I will sing with my spirit, but I will also sing with my understanding. See, that's where I've experienced tongues, when people are in worship and they're doing things in tongues and they've got all this thing going on over there in tongues and it doesn't make sense and it completely distracts from being led into the throne room with people who are really worshiping. And that's where I've messed up in my walk by trying to diminish it, but I'm saying those who do that are taking away from it. Paul says this, why? In verse 16, otherwise, when you were praising God in the Spirit, how can someone else who is now put in the position of the acquirer say amen to your thanksgiving since they do not know what you are saying? You are giving thanks well enough, but no one else is edified. There he goes again, the building up of the church. So if you're speaking in tongues, it should be to build up the church. In other words, it should be to reach someone who would otherwise not understand it. That is the whole point of it. The third truth about tongues is this. It's always in agreement with God's instruction to edify the church. It edifies the church. It builds the church up. Now, even in prayer, one of the greatest examples of that to me is in 2 Kings, when Elisha, in 2 Kings 6, when Elisha is standing there, and if you remember, the king of Aram has all of his armies around him, and the servant of the Lord says, we're about to die. I see all of the enemy at the gate. I see them all. We're about to die. And Elijah prays in the spirit. He says, Lord, open his eyes that he may see that those that are with us are more than are with them. And God opens up his eyes and he sees all of God's army with a fiery chariots all around. Elisha prayed in tongue so that that man could understand it. Now, did you have a special language that he did it in? Was it anything like crazy? Was there like a spell book that he had to go to do that? No, he prayed in the spirit with his understanding so that someone else could understand and benefit from it. But now that we know that there can be a publicly displayed tongues, either in prayer or even in a worship setting, that should be interpreted or make sense, it's got to make sense, And it's always going to involve Scripture or the Word of God. The question that I would say for you and I is, what if the Holy Spirit told you today he wanted to use your mouth, your tongue, your voice? Would you let him do it? Some of us be afraid. Some of us may say, well, I'm like I was Isaiah that says, hey, I can't speak. So I have to have my mouth be purified before I share this Word of God. Like, some of us may say, I just don't know. I don't speak a lot. Maybe I'm like Moses. I've got a stutter. I need to have somebody else be able to speak for me. Some of us would just say it's really weird, isn't it? Really weird. You see, like, it's weird to gather together to sing worship and praise to God to somebody who's not a believer, isn't it? Even at the same time every week. It's weird to take a Bible that was written thousands of years ago and say that it's relevant today because we believe God's word is alive and active, isn't it? To somebody who's an unbeliever. It's really weird to raise your hand or fall to your knees and worship until you do it. And all of a sudden, there's this moment of freedom in doing that, isn't there? It's really weird to communicate to somebody in memes and emojis, yet somehow we understand it. What if it's not about it being weird as much as our willingness to trust the Holy Spirit to work through it? Because that's the real question Paul is trying to help us understand. So if you and I maybe say, okay, well, I will trust the Holy Spirit, how in the world can that happen? Well, I would say, sometimes when it comes to the gifts of the Spirit and the gifts that God's given you, you just got to try them out. If God's giving you the gift of teaching, well, wouldn't it make sense for you to try to teach someone to see if God could refine that gift? If you've got the gift of tongues, shouldn't you just try it out? And I'm not saying try it right now to bring yourself glory, but you know what? You can right where you are. You know how? You can just ask the Holy Spirit to lead you syllable by syllable. So many times in our life, let me ask you this. So like for me, and this isn't you never wear tongues as a badge of honor. But every day I try to pray for each of you, and usually it's about 30 minutes a day. Sometimes it can go over an hour. Sometimes it's at night when I can't sleep at times, and there are often times I can't sleep. I just pray because I'm not going to, what else am I going to do? I know that sounds nuts, but it's some of the best time that you can pray. When I pray, I just let the Holy Spirit tell me what to pray for. And you just let him lead you. And believe it or not, he'll open your eyes. He'll open your eyes about the relationship issue, about the financial issue, about the hurt or the harm that you may not know about. And I don't come in here and just be like, hey, I prayed for you last time. I know what's going on with you. I saw what you did at that red light. You ran that thing off the road. Don't tell nobody. Like, it's not that. But it doesn't mean the Holy Spirit doesn't do that sometimes. As a matter of fact, isn't it crazy that when somebody prays for you and they say, hey, I'm praying specifically for you to be healed right now, and they're healed, and you may not see them for about 4 or 5 days. And all of a sudden they'll say, I don't know who prayed for me. Somebody did. What is it, Crowder song? Somebody prayed, right? Somebody prayed. It's that simple. As a matter of fact, oftentimes in my prayer, I will tell you, this is how you can pray in tongues, and this isn't a formula, but speak the names of God back to himself. We sing about Jireh, you are enough. Have you ever thought about it? When you pray to Jehovah, when you pray to Yahweh, when you talk about Elohim, do I speak Hebrew? You know, I don't barely speak English well. But I tell you what, God understands it. That's praying in tongues. And I can tell you whose name I'm praying to when I do it. I can understand it. That's speaking in tongues. So would you let the Holy Spirit lead you syllable by syllable? Because if you'll do that, not just in tongues, if you do that in instructing people, if you do that in parenting and leading your children and coaching those teams and in your workplace, if you will let the Holy Spirit take over you, it won't be as weird as you think. As a matter of fact, it'll be freeing because it will take the weight of it off of you. This is what Paul is trying to help us understand when it comes to tongues. Not this weird thing where you got to have a seminary degree you got to have a comma with 4 or 5 letters after your name to make sure that it makes sense. It's just a willingness to be used by the Spirit. It's a willingness when you go to pray for somebody and say, I don't know why, but I just need to pray for you right now. Can we pray? You're speaking in tongues. You say, but I spoke English. Yeah, yeah. You're praying, and this person is going to get to interpret what's happening because you may be praying about a situation nobody else knows about. That's speaking in tongues. That simple. Not rama-lama ding-dong. You didn't say it right. So you're not saved. You're not getting into heaven. It's not that. It's just letting the Holy Spirit take over you. So understand when it comes to that. We don't need to split denominations over this. We don't need to have all of these things. That is literally what speaking in tongues is about. Because right now you could be speaking English and they understand in Japanese. And I remember a missionary, and I'm not going to steal the credit because I don't know. I can't remember if Joel told me about it or if I read about it in a Bible app. So forgive me. But a missionary came up to a checkpoint and they had an interpreter there. And the interpreter did not know the language that was being spoken at the checkpoint from English to that language. And the interpreter told them when they stopped, prepare, we are about to go to jail and probably die because we're Christians in a country where they chop your head off for being a Christian. But I'm going to speak to the checkpoint person. So pray. They spoke in the language that they knew. The checkpoint person heard it in the other language and they let them walk. That's a Holy Spirit thing. Guess what? Somebody spoke in tongues. They didn't know it. Now, after the fact, they did. After the fact, they were praising Jesus for it. After the fact, they understood. But see, the Holy Spirit can move through those things. The question is, are we willing to be used by the Holy Spirit to do it? Speaking of that, we're not going to get into there. We addressed it in 1 Corinthians 11. In verse 34 and 35, Paul says women shouldn't speak in church. And that's not what he's really saying. We talked about that, and everything comes from God in 1 Corinthians 11, that women can speak in church, women can teach in church. He's addressing a specific issue that was happening, so I'd encourage you to go back there, because why in the world would the Holy Spirit not be able to move through both man and woman? Because Jesus didn't just come to save man, he came to save woman and man. So that being said, understand that's not what Paul is saying. But what Paul is trying to say is for all of us to understand why this all matters in verse 39 and 40. Because he says this, therefore, my brothers and sisters, be eager to prophesy, and this is why I wanted to confess earlier, and do not forbid speak in tongues. Did you know encouragement is speaking in tongues? Exhortation is speaking in tongues? You're using a scripture that the Holy Spirit is interpreting. Right now, you're hearing me say something that's probably a bunch of gibberish. The Holy Spirit is speaking. In other words, I'm speaking in tongues right now, and the Holy Spirit is interpreting it, and you are understanding it specifically to your situation. Like when you come in here on a Sunday and you think, man, that preacher was speaking specifically to you, and everybody who's up here will tell you if they've ever shared the Word of God, it wasn't me, it was the Holy Spirit. It ain't got nothing to do with me. But Paul is saying, do not forbid speaking in tongues, but he ends it the way he starts it. In everything, but everything should be done in a fitting and orderly way. Joking earlier, before we get to that fourth truth, like what if we just had a different order of service every week? What if sometimes we started with the preaching and then we said, thank you. If you're first time at the very end, if it's your first time hanging out or right in the middle of the message, right in the middle of a worship song, we just rolled up. That's my king. Thanks. Shh. I'm trying to talk to the newcomers here. Shut up. Hey, everybody. We're so glad you're here today. Like, how crazy would that be if there was no flow or order to a service? Yet every week we have the same flow. We try to make it better. We have things that are different about it every week. But every week it's the same. It's a fitting and orderly way. This is what Paul is saying should happen when we gather together. Not just on a Sunday, but when we gather together in Jesus' name, everything should be done in a fitting and orderly way so that the church may be built up. So the fourth truth of tongues is it's in a fitting and orderly way. It's not like when you go to that church and all of a sudden Ruby just signed up and said, Ramadamadigdong. Like, that's not what tongues is. Like, we would just be like, hokey pokey. Like, it doesn't make sense. So if you've been a part of those, maybe you're like me. I don't want us to forbid speaking in tongues, but understand when somebody does that, they're not glorifying God. They're glorifying themselves. So I give you the authority in Jesus' name to cast that demon out. I'm just going to be honest with you, and you let them know it. Like, that is not of God. And you address that. Stand firm on that. There's nothing wrong with that. So that being said, that fourth truth is everything must happen in an orderly way so that the church may be built up. What does that mean? So that unbelievers can understand the truth of the gospel and have a chance to respond to it every week. Because if we don't get to share anything, we know and we share it all the time, God loves you. But the most important thing an unbeliever needs to understand today is God even wants to have a conversation with you. And it's not a come in the office and shut the door meeting. It's an arms wide open, sent my son to live the perfect sinless life for you, die the death you deserve, and love you enough that he rose again on the third day by the Holy Spirit kind of love. It's a, as we've talked about, as a prodigal son, the end of the driveway kind of love. Like, I don't want to just have a one-time sit-down with you where I wrote you up and say, next time you do that, I'm firing you and discarding you. I want to have an ongoing conversation with you every minute of every day, when your feet touch the ground, when they lay in the bed, when your eyes are shut, when they're wide open, every breath you take, every heartbeat that happens, I want to have a conversation with you. So much so that when that heart stops beating, I'm still going to have a conversation with you in eternity. All the way through. That's what we get to share in an orderly way. And so today, I know the salvation story of those in this house, and I'm thankful for those in this house. But maybe you're watching online and you are realizing for the first time, God actually wants to have a conversation with me. I've spent my whole life running from God. I've spent my whole life trying to make the things of this world God. I've spent my whole life trying to get cleaned up to get to God, trying to find where I am on the 12-step program. Did I memorize the right language? Did I serve the right way? Did I give enough? Did I do enough? And the conversation that God wants to have with you today is he just wants to share one word with you, and that word is Jesus, his son, who we just celebrated, you and I, sinners, separated from an almighty God. No way could we have a conversation with God. We couldn't understand the language of God. We had no way to understand God. And so Jesus comes in, is our mediator, lives a perfect sinless life you and I can't live. Praise God for that, because I've probably sinned 7 times up here already. So I'm thankful for that, that he has lived it for me. It is finished. I don't have to worry about it. Does it mean that I want to stay in sin? No. But when I do mess up, he is already forgiven. When I mess up tomorrow, he gives me tomorrow. When I sin tomorrow, he's already paid for it. And he's not mad at me for it. He willingly goes to that cross for you and me. And then he says, you know what? I got to give him that one more thing. I'm going to go leave that empty tomb that they can be in the fullness of a relationship with the Father, so that God can not only speak to them and them have to figure out how to understand it and go through 17 different Bible translations and break it down in 17 different languages just to finally understand God. No. I'm going to make a way for them to understand it now, because God's going to live in them through the Holy Spirit. The only difference is our willingness to trust him in faith. And so wherever you are today, Paul writes to the Roman church something very important to us in Romans 10, verse 9 and 10. If you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart you believe and are justified. It is with your mouth you profess your faith and are saved. The Creator God that created all of the heavens and the earth, the entire universe, always works through a human vehicle. How amazing is that? Even our salvation, God became fully God and fully man through Jesus Christ. But it requires our faith to trust him. It requires us to profess our faith and say that he is Lord and believe. And so right now we are going to profess our faith with the words of a prayer. It's not the words of this prayer that saves you. It's the faith behind this prayer that saves you. Because we want even anyone who has been a skeptic of Jesus their whole life to finally understand the freedom, the power, the forgiveness, and the wholeness that is found in him alone. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, we're going to pray out loud together here at the Vine, because nobody prays it alone, for the benefit of those who are coming to faith for the first time. So would everyone please repeat this prayer out loud after me. Dear Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner separated from you. I believe you came, lived the perfect sinless life I couldn't live, died the death I deserved, paying the penalty for my sins on the cross, but loved me enough not to stay dead, but rose again on the third day that I may have life. Take over my life, Lord. Teach me to follow you step by step the rest of my life the best way I know how. With every head bow and every eye closed, if you're watching online, I'm going to tell you right now, everybody in this house has been praying for you. If for the first time you have given your life to Christ, you have surrendered your life to Christ, I'm going to ask you to do something bold on the count of three. One, two, three. Would you raise your hand? If you're online, would you raise your hand? If you're watching throughout, if you're listening 7 years from now, that's fine. Raise your hand right where you are. Declare your faith right now. We also would love for you to message us. Shoot us a comment. Hey, I just met Jesus as my Lord and Savior. What do I do next? We want to help you, because as Paul just wrote in 1 Corinthians 14, the way that you and I grow to maturity in the faith is by being part of a local church. And we want to help you get to a local church near you so that you can grow in the gifts of the Holy Spirit that you were created to walk in. For the rest of us today, I hope and pray that you have seen this idea, this gift of tongues be demystified. And today, I just pray that maybe as you go out today, you would just trust Jesus through the Holy Spirit with just one syllable of your next prayer, with just one syllable of that next word that spoken to the person that he places in front of you. And you understand that you can operate in this gift of the Spirit without it being weird, because it's not up to you and I for the results. It's up to you and I for the willingness for the Holy Spirit to go get the results. But let's stand and worship today.
Cross you bore so I could live. In your freedom you died for, and now my life is yours, and I will sing of your goodness forevermore. Worthy is your name, Jesus, you deserve the praise. Worthy is your name, worthy is your name, Jesus, you deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Shame is gone. I stand amazed in your love undeniable. Your grace goes on and on, and I will sing of your goodness forevermore. Worthy is your name, Jesus. Your glory fills this place. You alone deserve our praise. You're the name above all names. Be exalted now in the heavens as your glory fills this place. You alone deserve our praise. You're the name above all names. Be exalted now in the heavens as your glory fills this place. You alone deserve our praise. You're the name above all names. Be exalted now in the heavens as your glory fills this place. You alone deserve our praise. You're the name.
Ramalama ding dong. That's all you're going to get from this today. Just know whenever you're reading the word of the Lord in your quiet time, you're walking through tongues because it's making sense to you what the Holy Spirit is teaching. But don't look at it as a weird thing to do. Just be willing to be used by the Holy Spirit in the moment that you're in and trust God to work through it and don't worry about the weirdness of it. And just know right now that God does want to have a conversation with you, but also God wants to have a conversation through you. You and I get to be his light in this dark, dark world that is searching for his hope. Let's share it. Hope you have a great week. We want to invite you next week to come hang out with us. I can't promise that strawberry shortcake is going to be here. Sorry about that. So maybe you missed this week, but next week, I'm sure there'll be cupcakes. We got a seat saved for you. Have a great week. Always remember the best.